morning.
Good morning.
I get the privilege this morning of talking about worship. And with that, I think I'd like to start with a little prayer. So, Father, we just want to come to you, Lord. And we don't want to stay outside, Lord. We want to come in. Lord, we want to be at your feet this morning and all the time, Lord. So, Father, won't you just be here with us, God? Won't you just join us? Father, I just pray that the worship is sweet, Lord, that the lessons are wonderful and penetrate. God, we have such thick skin sometimes. So many things are going on in our lives that are distractions, Lord. But here, in this place, we want to honor you. We want to thank you, Lord, for changing hearts. We want to thank you for snatching lives out of the world, Lord. And thank you for choosing us, God. Father, help us to be more like you. Help us to kill the old man. And fill up those spaces with you, Lord. So, Father, we just give you this time, this morning, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning, this wasn't part of what I had planned. I made a bunch of notes. I usually teach kids, high school kids, and high school young adults, I should say, because a lot of them are pretty mature kids, but I usually don't keep notes because I find it distracts me. But I did make some notes, and I think that you guys will probably appreciate the fact that I did, because I tend to lose track. But with high schoolers, they put me back on track, because they're allowed to talk, but you guys aren't allowed to talk anymore. Is that true? They're not allowed to talk anymore.
What?
Yes. Waiting for Neil. Even as late as this morning, things were being added to this, and so if you guys will turn to Psalm 34, and thanks, Dave. 34. Psalm 34. You're good. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We come to church. We're Christians. We are, right? We're Christians. Christians here. Anybody stand up and say, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus Christ. This is worship. This is worship. It's not just the music we hear. Okay, you guys can sit back down. When the music plays, we know that when we come to church, we walk through the doors, and there's a routine. We all have schedules. There's things we need to do. Church is a part of worship, and it's a wonderful part. I get fed there. It's my hospital. It's my gym. It's a wonderful place. We go there. There's a time of worship there when the music's playing, right? When the announcements are going. Yeah, that's somebody's ministry, somebody standing up there serving the Lord, because the Lord has worked in their lives, changed their heart, put them in that place, and they're worshiping the Lord. When we all stand up, read God's Word together, Rich is reading the odd numbers, we're reading the even numbers. It's a wonderful time of worship. It can be. I know a lot of times it doesn't feel like it. To me or to others in the room, some are able to get there, others are not able to get there, and feel what the Lord has for us at that point. After church, hanging around, talking outside, talking inside, Don't you guys love it at our church? It's like nobody wants to go home after dinner. There's so many people hanging around. I'm trying to lock the doors, and you guys are just all hanging around, chit-chatting and everything. It's good. That's a wonderful thing. It means we love each other. We have things to share with each other. That blesses the Lord. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's worship. Children's ministry is going. What a cool thing. That's so cool to think that Jesus loves children so much that He has given special instructions about them. The disciples we know kind of said, hey, keep the kids away, get them back. You know, this guy's got more important things to do. And He said, don't even do that. And He warned those who might hurt a child on just what they may as well go ahead and do if they hurt a child. So it's a good thing that our God is loving and forgiving and will forgive some of the things that we've done in our lives, all of the things that we've done in our lives. So I have here, I think we can agree that there are many ways to worship our God, right? That's not just while the music's playing, right? And like I said, first off, just opening your mouth, standing up, saying you're a Christian, you love the Lord, is a form of worship. Let's go to Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I think everybody in here just did that. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is what the Lord came to accomplish. When we do that, and not just in a room full of believers, but in the world, when we do it in a room full of believers, we are sharpening one another. We're holding up one another. When we do it in the world, there's a little risk involved. But when we do, Jesus is blessed. And in that, He's worshipped. We're following. We're accepting the gift that He gave to us. I've heard the illustration many times about somebody give you a present and you set it in the corner. Oh, thanks a lot. Put it in the corner and leave it there. Not too cool. That's not being very gracious. So I had another illustration that just faded away there. But coming to church is worship. Anybody ever heard someone say, well, God never said we need to go to church. We don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Church is kind of like a religious thing and stuff. But we've all heard that. I've even said it. So let's turn to Hebrews 10:24 and 25. My brother spoke this one last night. One there. Did I say 10, 24, and 25? Okay. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love in good works. I think that we're being here is kind of like that. We come together as a group, not just assembling in our neighborhoods at our church with our families and everything, but we've taken the time out to come here and to stand beside one another and to bring each other strength just by being together. And then 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Anybody know what day that is? The Lord's return, when He's coming back. We need to hang in there together. We need to keep coming together so that we become stronger and stronger, and our message to the world becomes more and more critical and more important, because that day is approaching, like it or not. I was talking with somebody, we were talking about this verse, and it was like, well, my grandma said that, you know, and I'm sure her grandma said that too. But no one knows when that day is. We just need to be prepared. We need to keep assembling. We need to keep going to that gym. We need to keep raising His name in worship, and keep telling others about it. I did a song the other day in church. Do you see Him coming? Look over yonder. Do you see Him coming? Because He is coming. We need to let people know that is worshiping the Lord. Singing songs. Speaking to one another with God's words. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another in psalms. That's why I open with a psalm. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Coming in how many of you guys would walk up to somebody on the street? How many people talk to each other in psalms? I know at church sometimes we do. It's just like my brother this morning said, hey, and he told me, you know, have you read Psalm 34? And we talked about it a little bit. We set up a table in there. We talked about it a little bit. I just felt it was, you know, the Lord saying, talk about this. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Song is when we come together in church and we're singing songs, this is the time of worship, so a lot of us feel, so a lot of us think. How many people sometimes struggle entering into worship during the music? Is it just me that sometimes is thinking about that noise my car is making, or something that's going on with my house? I just got to finish that planter, or my wife's going to be mad at me or something. It's not always walking through the door, the chord strikes, and we're in worship and we're lifting our hands. We're distracted people. So I say, you have not missed your opportunity if you were not able to enter into the throne room during the music at church. You have not missed your opportunity. You can walk out. You can talk to somebody outside that's fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters, and that is worshiping the Lord. It's what we're called to do. A lot of times, we just need to take action. When you don't feel like it, when you don't feel like you're in a bad mood, whatever's going on in your life at that time, you can't. You're distracted and you can't enter into worship. It's not finished yet. You have every opportunity from that minute forward to enter into worship. I want to talk about a friend of mine now that also Frank brought up last night, a brother named Aaron. And he's just a blessing. This guy is just way cool. When I think about him, he's so honest. Songs talk to him. He comes every Sunday night. He has a job that requires him to work on the weekends. Sunday night he's available. He comes to the Sunday night refresh. And the songs that we sing in there speak to this man, where he will ask about them and talk about them afterwards, and even come in and bring them up to us before or after church and just ask about the words. Well, most of the songs, as you guys know, come from the Word. And so we're speaking to our brothers in song. When Dave gets up there and he's leading worship and he's singing these songs, they're from the Word of God. And if we can be ushered in, then we are right to be in the throne room. A lot of us don't feel like we are. It's not okay for us to be there because things are just not good today, or I'm distracted today for some reason. But we are right to be in the throne room. At that time, at other times, when you're talking to one another, discussing the Word, discussing problems that you might have, prayer brings you before the throne of God. Musicians are a very strange bunch of people. There's a lot of musicians in this room. Sorry, John, if I offended you, or David. But I'm one too, so I get it. I understand. We're different. But I remember the first when I realized that the Lord had given me a song, and I started writing it down. And I didn't know what I was doing. Everything was all messed up and eclectic and everything. And then it just kind of came together. The melody came together. The words came together. And there it was. And I'm going, man, where did this come from? And it took me a little while to realize that that this was the Lord's work, not mine. I was merely the vehicle that the Lord used to put this together. And then that song, Blessed Be Your Name, popped into my mind, because I thought, what a blessing. Why would the Lord choose me to write a song like this? You know, and I sat on my couch and I played it. And that song, Blessed Be Your Name, came into my head, and every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. He blessed me with that song. I was able to turn it back to praise Him. And guess who was on the receiving end of that? Me. The Lord was blessed, but I'm the one who received. You can't worship God without Him just totally blessing you. I've heard people say, you can't outgive God. Well, that's the whole truth. Nothing but the truth, folks. You can't outgive Him, no matter what you do. In His name, you will be blessed. You will be blessed from it. Somehow, some way. There's a song called Face Down. I've got a lot of notes here, so if I get to going too far, how long do I have, Dave? I don't know.
You've got another 15 minutes.
Maybe. Okay. Will somebody go over there and tell them we're going to be late to breakfast? Because there's no door back here, is there? Sorry.
We'll tell them you're going to be there.
There's a song called Face Down, and it's a very emotional song. It's touching, it's slow, it's very deep. And the words go, welcomed in to the courts of the King. Can anybody tell me how come we're welcomed in to those courts? What happened in history that makes us welcomed in? Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. Welcomed into the courts of the King. I've been ushered into Your presence. Lord, I stand on Your merciful ground, but with every step tread with reverence. And then the song goes into saying, and then I fall face down as Your glory shines around. What a wonderful picture. If we are able to, during worship, feel that we are being, that we are welcome in, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's confusing, what's got you, your mind spinning in the background. Mine goes all the time. We are welcomed in through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are ushered in by Jesus Christ. If we are able to get to that place where we can fall down on our face and worship, we are offering that honor and that praise to the King of Kings, but we are the beneficiaries of it. We get to go into the courts of the King and be in His presence. It's Let's see. A note I'm going to read here. When you feel worship in the presence of the Lord, it is an awesome gift from Him. We are allowed to enter in. He's invited us, but a lot of times we don't feel okay to be there. But it's not us that has made it possible to be there. It's Him, and He's welcoming us. But don't let what happened to you on the way to church, you know, that jerk gave you the horn or whatever. You had to drive past Baskin and Robbins and couldn't stop and get that ice cream that you wanted to get. Sometimes you may need to just join in. If you're with others, or just sing it out, if you're alone, to engage. Sometimes just taking that step. And I'll give an example, but I was at a Christian concert just the other night. And, you know, Mercy Me, everybody knows it. Well, for those of you who don't know, it's not just a rock and roll show. There's worship. The word is spoken there. It's a pretty good time. It's a real good time. And I know that some of you were also there. When I looked around, at one point, the singer invited everyone to stand. Well, I stood, you know. I looked all around. He started talking and singing, and I was in a sea of people with their arms lifted, you know what I'm talking about, with their arms lifted, engaged in worship and praise to the Lord, to the Creator, to the one who has saved us all. And I'm feeling like, all right. And I looked again. I took another look, and I thought, wow, this must really bless the Lord. He must be like, this is cool. This is cool. He must be really happy. And all of a sudden, I didn't want to not be a part of that. I wanted to be a part of that. I wasn't thinking about myself at that point. I quit thinking about myself. And I started thinking about what this was about. This was about praising our God. And you look around and you see all of these people. So I put away whatever was stopping me. I lifted my hands. I opened my mouth. I looked up and I was blessed. But what happened to me was a transformation out of the world and into the presence of the Lord. And I don't know, are there 10,000 people there? Who knows? Who cares? It doesn't matter. One person, all by yourself, it doesn't matter. But sometimes it just takes one little step on your part to honor the one who is worthy to be honored. Put yourself aside. Take that step forward and engage. If you can't engage with your mind and the wonderful feeling that you have inside is not always warm and fuzzy, we know, then you do it with your body. You do it with your mouth. And pretty soon, the blessing comes on you, and you are ushered in to the courts of the King. Try it. Just try it sometime. Let me skip ahead a little bit. Reading God's Word together as a church, or with a friend. I've got Colossians 3:16 here. Half of it talks about what we had just read out of Ephesians. But let's go there anyway. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's worship. We talk to each other about the Word. We're in this room. We're in the Word. We're worshiping our God. He's pleased. He's going to be here with us. Announcements, children's ministry, coffee ministry, missions, tithing, helping hands. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in our church body. A lot of things. A lot of you guys are involved. All of you are involved, actually. How many here are looking forward to the return of the Jesus Cafe ministry? What an awesome thing. Talk about brothers coming together praying.
I'm sorry.
That's awesome. That's a good thing. People come together and talk. We're praising the Lord and eating good food. Andy's a great cook. Smiling at the clerk at the grocery store. Cool thing. Helping one another in need. Sharing Jesus when the opportunity is presented. If you struggle from time to time with worship during the music at church, don't despair. You're not alone. A lot of us do. A lot of us do. Your surrendered life and everything you do with it, that is according to God's Word, is worshiping Him. Every time the Holy Spirit moves you and you go, how many people here, I'm one, I'm guilty. The Holy Spirit taps me on the shoulder, whispers in my ear, and I go, oh, you know, do something else instead. Don't follow it. It doesn't feel very good on the other end of that one. Because you know, you kind of carry it with you for a long time and you wonder what could have happened. Worshiping the Lord is listening to the Holy Spirit, moving, taking that chance. It's a risk. It's a risk. But what worthwhile is not a risk. You know, in the world anyway, in the Lord. You know, there's lots of things that are wonderful that aren't risky, but we're sent out to help the lost, to tell them what's going on. That's worshiping. When you feel bad, when you're in trouble, when you're distracted, busy, mad, sad, glad, sick, at work or at home, He's still worthy. He's still worthy. The other day, when I first heard, we got a phone call about, I'm sure everybody knows, about Greg Laurie's son, what happened. 33 years old, was killed in an automobile accident just the other day. I'm qualified to talk about this. For those of you who don't know, I also lost a child at 23 years old. But when I heard about that, bad feelings that happened did not come back all the way. I was reminded to the point of I knew what Greg Laurie was going through, what his family was going through. I knew. I didn't have to imagine. I had it. And it hurts. And that's an awful thing to go through. But in my mind, and I think it was the Lord, Holy Spirit, gave me this to write down. Even if the worst of the worst happens, which I've never experienced anything like that before. It was the worst of the worst to me. Everyone has their own experiences, but to lose a child, to lose a spouse, I can't imagine anything more devastating. Even when the worst of the worst happens, and someone you love dies, our God takes the worst of the worst and has made it the best of the best. what can be better than knowing that in your tragedy, your child, your spouse, is in the presence of the Lord? In this world, this is a horrible thing to happen to us. As Christians, we know they go straight to heaven. They're in the presence of Jesus Christ like that. We have that from the Word. We can just praise Him for that. The hurt doesn't go away. Greg and his family are going to go through some very, very difficult, hard times. This is not a good thing right now. But we just pray the Lord will carry him through his grieving and mourning process. And on the other side, he'll have the same joy that my wife and I have got from the Lord through this tragedy. And it's like I said earlier, you can't outgive God. These little things that are so wonderful that keep coming to us when during the first 3 years or so when it was so hard, the Lord would just bless us with these wonderful little nuggets. My daughter's birthday is in May. On our refrigerator to this day, May 2005, the first time we tore the calendar to her, it's just a little dinky thing like this. The first time we tore the calendar to May after she died, the message on this little tiny calendar said, "She is clothed in strength and dignity." And did that help? I mean, it's just, what do you want? What do you want, folks? And that's just one little teeny tiny thing that was written on a calendar. But, you know, when we think about our daughter being in the presence of the Lord, that's a wonderful thought, is it not? I mean, she's not in this world. She's not with us anymore. But she's done. She's there. She's where we all strive to be. So anyhow, I'll leave that one now. I just that got on the list pretty late with Greg Laurie's family's tragedy. I just wanted to share that we serve a great God. This world through one man, death entered, sin entered. Through one. We're saved. Everyone has the opportunity to escape them. Our hope is in the risen King, Lord of Lords, Jesus. He is worthy of our praise and worship, not just when it's warm and fuzzy, or you had a good morning. Maybe you did stop and get that ice cream on the way to church. With your actions all day. All day long, you have opportunity to worship God. He loves and guides us, so be led and take comfort in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not there to give you instructions that are going to get you in trouble in the world. He's there. And when you follow those instructions or those suggestions, as they seem to be, because we can turn away from them just as easy as we can turn into them. You can't outgive God, and He will turn that around, and you will be more blessed than you can believe just by listening and following, being led. And there's a song that I find encouraging, and this is a song written by someone who actually goes to our church, and the name the song is called "Our Father Knows." So, if any of you, this is written from the point of view of a person who is sitting in church next to you. It says, "You sit in church with smiling face. One look at you, I think all is cool. But deep inside, your heart is breaking, and you don't even know what to do. How can I know just what you're thinking? I can never really know. Our Father knows what you're thinking. Only our Father knows." So kneel before our Father, friend. Give all those thoughts to Him. He can heal your heart that's breaking. He can help you know what to do. Only our Father knows what you're thinking. Only our Father knows. It's pretty comforting to know that all these years, through all these generations, everybody sitting in church, putting on that happy face, and we all do it. Hey, how's it going, brother? Oh, it's great. Everything's good. And we're distracted or we're having issues. And that's how we're brought up with manners, to greet one another, smile, shake hands. Yeah, how are you? We ask each other how we're doing. My mom taught me that stuff, and I still think if I don't do it, I'm going to get in trouble. So, but God knows. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what's on your heart. This is no secret. We all know this. The people around you don't know. It's up to us to enter into worship. If we are feeling warm and fuzzy and we were able to stop and get ice cream on the way to church, fine. And you go before the Lord and you have that wonderful, warm, fuzzy feeling, then it's really a good thing. But those times when you don't have that wonderful, warm feeling, think about Him. Think about Jesus and the reason that we're there singing His praises. It's because He is worthy to be praised. Take that step. Lift your hands. Open your mouth. Close your eyes and just concentrate on Lord, the Lord, before the throne. He is the reason we are here. He's the reason we assemble. He's the reason we speak to each other in songs and psalms and with the Word of God. We greet each other with a holy kiss. We hold each other up, and we carry duct tape around with us to admonish one another. Thanks. Let's pray. Father, we just want to come before you now again. Thank you for your Word, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for these instructions. Thank you for putting brothers in our path. Thank you for putting challenges in our path, Lord. Thank you for being a loving God who understands, takes us how we are. Lord, help us to put the old man down and to fill up the spot with you. In Jesus' name, amen.